Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If you have ever seen a real one do his or her thing, you might wonder, why in the world is this analogy so strong in Scripture? I think I've mentioned on the air before that one of my favorite things to do in the springtime down where I live in a small town in Illinois is go to our sheep festival. And one of the things they do at the sheep festival out on the fairgrounds there in our small town is they work the sheep. They do it with dogs. And that's my fascination, are the border collies and the sheepdogs. But to watch the shepherds, none of them are gentle. None of them are kind. They are all very bossy. Shepherds have to be very bossy, and they boss that dog around. That dog scares the dickens out of those sheep. Those sheep are not happy being herded hither and yon and back and forth through gates. And you watch them work together, the shepherd and his dog, and you might get a picture of a very rough and tumble picture, very different from all the stained glass we see of Jesus standing so gently, coddling and petting and stroking the wool of the baby lambs. If you've ever seen a real shepherd, especially, I imagine, in the time of Jesus, when he is speaking these words to his disciples, I imagine it was even rougher and more tumble than it is today. So what does it mean that he is our good shepherd? What does it mean that he lays down his life for us, the sheep? Sounds like a dangerous profession, in addition to being a very demanding one. We're going to be studying the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Pastor Will Wheaton joins us right here in the studio for this hour-long study of this hymn. You can join us as well. This is Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, April the 20th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Will Wheaton is a regular guest pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Where, as we look at this in its biblical context, where are we going to find the primary context for this hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," in both Old and New Testament?
Okay, I think there are three places in the Old Testament that sort of give us a handle on this. First one is, remember, David's the one that sort of imparts this shepherd image to be so sweet. And he's the, when he's brought before Saul, when he's about to challenge Goliath, remember, he says, you know, hey, you know, it's okay, I can go up against this guy. I had a wolf and a bear tried to get my sheep once, and I just went and grabbed them and took my sheep right out of their mouth, you know. And so you get this impression of this man for whom the sheep were something more, were personal. It's really bizarre. You think, well, where did he get that from? And he takes that entire thing of what the way he felt towards his sheep, and he plops the whole thing into the Lord as the way the Lord cares for his people. And so the most famous part of Scripture where it comes from, of course, is Psalm 23, and that's what this hymn is actually mostly a paraphrase of. But then there's also the passage in Ezekiel 34, which is really key. Again, picking up on the David idea that there's going to be a shepherd for God's flock, you know. You almost get the impression that God's saying, darn it all now, you know, I'm going to have to do this because you guys just aren't doing it. This is what he describes that he's going to do. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 15. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And you get this impression from here. You know, you mentioned the beautiful stained glass picture. We got one, not a stained glass, but a mural on our front wall of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It's beautiful. But of course, the thing that's wrong with it is that the sheep are also beautiful. Instead of, I mean, the description here is mangy, torn up, lost, you know, weak. They need to be healed. And you don't see that in most of the pictures. I think it would be so much more powerful if you had, you know, the Lord holding on his shoulders or in his arms one of these really mangy, rotten-looking sheep. And the New Testament passage that's just absolutely key for it is when Jesus basically announces, "I am Yahweh," speaking in Ezekiel 34 and John 10, when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I am that one. I am Yahweh come in the flesh to take care of my flock."
What can you tell us briefly about the author of this particular hymn and the composer?
Okay. The author of the hymn is Henry W. Baker. Let's be clear, this is probably the crown of the paraphrases of Psalm 23, recognized, it was like the best. He was an Anglican clergyman, son of a British general, admiral. He was ordained a priest in the Church of England in 1846, and then a few years later, 1851, he was appointed to be vicar of the parish of Monkland in Herefordshire. And that's where he served until his death in 1877, basically a two-parish man. And the neat thing was his very last words, his last recorded words, were the third stanza of this hymn, "Perverse and foolish oft I've strayed." He's one of the big editors for the famous Anglican hymnal, Hymns Ancient and Modern. And this hymn was first published as the first supplement to that hymnal, if you will. And he's also known, by the way, he's the guy who he's the author of "Redeemed, Restored, Forgiven" from our hymnal, and he's also the one who translated "Of the Father's Love Begotten."
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, he's sort of got his fingers all over the hymnal in a very unobtrusive way. A very, very gifted man. The tune "St. Columba," old Irish folk tune. Nobody has any idea where it came from or how old it is, how far it goes back. It's been there for a while. And when you hear the way, and it was not the first tune that this piece was set to. There were two others that it was set to. And then finally, this made the match. And I think once it made the match, everybody said, "Well, that's it," because that's just the perfect tune for these perfect words.
You mentioned it's a paraphrase, so obviously it's playing strongly off of Psalm 23. What should we be listening for in the first stanza of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is"?
The first stanza has one thing that the entire hymn is going to hit, but this hymn really, or this stanza hits, is the goodness of the Lord. I am the good shepherd. 23 is just "The Lord is my shepherd." He begins this by saying, "The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never." He's looking directly at the Lord Christ and saying, you know, you don't understand the first thing about what the good shepherd is till you know the goodness of Jesus. When you see the goodness of Jesus, then you understand what a great good shepherd you really have.
The first stanza of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and by the way, you'll find the text of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is" under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever." Choir of King's School singing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." You talked about the goodness of this shepherd, and I want to come back to something I mentioned right at the very beginning, and that is our picture of good has probably had all of the rough edges knocked off of it. Men, people can be very good without being
saccharine
and sweet and with long, flowing, beautifully curled locks of hair like the good shepherd is often depicted, and the sheep, as you said before, are often so well-groomed. It's any real shepherd. Yeah. If you've ever watched a shepherd take hold of a lamb, he doesn't pick it up like you pick up a cat. He picks it up by its hind leg.
How do you pick up a cat?
Very gingerly. They have claws.
They have claws, yeah.
But he yanks it up by its hind leg, and it might be a little more gentle after that, but it's all business. And is such a shepherd still good?
Yeah, you know, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and the challenge that can present to our experience at times, I always think about the story of David in my first parish. You know, David had something wrong with his legs when he was born. They were they're like inverted in his sockets, if you will. And for David to be able to walk again, they had to do surgery to break David's legs and turn them around so that they could be
directed correctly.
Yeah. And you know, how do you explain to a little 4-year-old kid, hey, we're going to break your legs and it's for your good. And you're going to end up being thankful that this worked. I mean, you can't, right? And so a lot of times the goodness of the Lord, it seems like there's an awful lot of rough handling. Think about the Lord with Jacob on Jabbok's bank, you know. Jacob walks away the rest of his life limping, limping from his encounter with God. But it was a healing, totally healing encounter. And so the goodness of the Lord isn't that what you have is all sweetness, you know. It's that it's goodness. And goodness is always where he will do what is best for you, no matter the cost to himself. He will do what is best for you, no matter how upset you get with him. He will do what is best.
When we come back, we're going to look at stanza 2 of The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow with food celestial feedeth. We'll talk about that celestial food and the streams of living water. When we come back from this break, we're looking at The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, this great hymn for the time of Easter. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 20th, feel free to give us a call, questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Do you find the book of Revelation to be discomforting, discouraging, and downright difficult? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a lay-friendly commentary on Revelation. It's titled Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Concordia Popular Commentary, Revelation by Dr. Lewis Brighton. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors, and we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, etc.
Stanza 2 of The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon on this Tuesday afternoon here on Issues Etc. I know that you must want to spend some time talking about streams of living water and food celestial. Let's start with the first.
Oh, boy. First of all, I just have to say, after hearing that recording, I just love to hear the British flow and glow.
It's pretty nice, isn't it?
It is. Streams of living water. The neat thing about Baker is his taking of this psalm and interfacing it, as you would expect from someone part of the, you know, the great Anglican revival of the idea of church and sacraments inside of the Church of England at the time. He sees the sacraments in the psalm. And that's clearly what he is referring to. When he talks about streams of living water, he's thinking about baptism. He's thinking about the water where God gives rest to sinners by forgiving their sins and clothing them in Christ's righteousness. And when he talks about celestial food, he's talking about both the words of God, by which people, you know, the manna we eat, and the holy Eucharist too. But he's going to deal more with the Eucharist later on. But certainly the green pastures of God's holy word, the verdant pastures where we can feed and grow and be nourished. You know, Jesus, so beautifully quoting Deuteronomy there in the desert with the devil, man does not live by bread alone. Man lives. You know, it's not only food. What we live by is by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And Jesus preeminently is that word which came forth from the Father to give us life, celestial life.
He uses the phrase ransomed soul. What's in there?
My soul that has been bought back. It's interesting. The psalm has restores. He restores my soul. So there's something wrong with our soul that needs restoration. And soul here in the Hebrew sense, not of a piece of you, but of you. The soul is you.
Not soul as opposed to body, but right. Soul as opposed to your whole person.
Your whole person. Your soul is your whole person. And so he restores your soul. He restores your whole person. And again, he can't leave Christ out of this entire picture, so he thinks of how does Christ restore my soul? He restores it by ransoming it. He literally is going to lay down his life for the sheep in the place of the sheep. That's the very image that's running behind the word ransomed. The cost of my ransom is my shepherd, which is an amazing thought.
Stanza 3, as you said, among the last words of the composer of this hymn, perverse and foolish off I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Well, with that stanza, we're smack dab in the middle of the so-called parable of the Good Shepherd. He's nicely woven the two together here. Talk about this, if you would.
Yeah, remember the words from Luke 15. Jesus tells three parables in Luke 15. They're all about something that's lost, something that's found, and the joy of the one who does the finding of the lost one. And the first, and of course, the whole thing was occasioned by him eating with tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees being really ticked off that he would spend his time, waste his time with mangy sheep. Why would you do that? That did not register with them. So he begins by telling this story, and it always cracks me up. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds. If you go no further in the parable than that, the answer to the question is?
Not one.
Not one of us. We're not that dumb. We're going to leave 99. I mean, for the sake of one, we would leave 99. We'd risk that. No. See, it shows the divine mind is so different from ours. These three parables are the fountain of that beautiful notion, which is absolutely true, that if we alone had been the one who had gone astray, if it was only Todd Wilkin who fell into sin, only Will Wheaton who fell into sin, he would have done what he did just for them. And I don't care who our listeners are that is listening to this today, he would have done what he did for each one alone if they were the only one. He's the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And then when he finds it, what does he do? Does he smack it? How dare you? You know, look at all the trouble you've caused me. No, this shepherd is so, he's so weird. There's no other word for it. He finds the one that's lost. He puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Let's get this clear. He is rejoicing that he gets to carry this wounded, damaged sheep back to the 99. And when he gets home, what does he do? He calls together his family and friends. Then he says, "Hey, you got to come and celebrate with me. I found my sheep." That was like, what? And he's going, "What man of you?" And I honestly think our Lord expects the answer to be, "Well, wouldn't we do that?" And it's like, so different is the mind of God in human flesh from our fallen human minds. And he says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance."
Isn't that also something we need to observe? And that is, it's not only if it were just one, but this is how Jesus deals with sinners. He doesn't deal with them en masse. He doesn't deal with them as a class of people.
Right.
But as individuals.
One by one to sit at his table and listen to his story and feast with him.
I mean, it's your sins, your particular Will
Wheaton-sized
sins that he forgives. It's not just kind of some generic, here's my generic forgiveness.
Right. It's not generic sin. It's not generic forgiveness. It's a personal relationship. I mean, it really is. I know that word gets abused by, a whole camp of Christianity, but we shouldn't be scared of it. It really is a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd because he personally has borne my sin, your sin.
Let's look at stanza 4 of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." "In death's dark veil, I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." I like the way he kind of throws the cross in there near the end. Your thoughts on that stanza?
It strikes me as most interesting that when he was dying, he didn't quote that stanza. Maybe he was getting to it and he died before he could. But I find it very interesting that in death's dark veil, the thing that actually was on his mind, apparently, was his sin. "Perverse and foolish oft I've strayed." And I think that's the way it is. At the moment of death, when you enter into death's dark valley, Satan is at his greatest effort to remind you of every way in which you have failed God, every way in which you have betrayed his life and his love and hurt the people that he'd given you to love and cherish. That's all. He hands it all to you, and he says, "It's yours. You did it. You deal with it." And as he forces that on you, as you go through the valley of the shadow of death, what can you do but turn back to the shepherd and remember, wait a minute, he's the one who found me, he bought me, he carried me. And that's how he gives us the comfort of going through death. We can go through death unafraid when we know that we're walking through it with the one who is the wiping out of our sin.
He says the cross guides us.
The cross
death
in front of me to guide me. The cross. Yeah. Not, he didn't say the resurrection. He said the cross. The what will get me through death is seeing the Lamb of God having taken away my sin.
With just about 30 seconds here, to this point in the hymn, it's quite evident that he is not going to let this just be kind of the trite reading of the psalm, or replaying of the psalm. It's really all about Jesus' sacrifice at the cross.
Yeah, he's totally interplayed from start to finish Christ in this psalm. In other words, it's how does Christ illuminate Psalm 23? What light does Christ bring to its text and make it shine?
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." When we come back, we'll look at the final two stanzas of this hymn. And we take your phone calls and your email, 1-877-623-6943. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of April, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us, @issuesetc. Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion advocates are targeting Africa.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The countries of Africa have some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the world. Unfortunately, some groups are determined to see that change. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a New York-based law group, recently launched a campaign to liberalize Africa's abortion laws, compiling a survey of the pro-life laws of Africa and providing strategies for challenging those laws. The International Planned Parenthood Federation is also targeting Africa and recently held an international conference in Ethiopia where leaders mapped out strategies for expanding access to abortion to African women.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the great hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." By the way, you can purchase and download an MP3 recording of the Choir of King's School singing this hymn at our website, issuesetc.org. Well, before we go on to stanza 5, any other thoughts, Pastor Wheaton, on the fourth stanza of this hymn?
I'm always struck by thy rod and staff being a comfort. You think about the rod. do you think of the Lord's rod as something that's a comfort to you? There's a beautiful passage in Luther where he says, if you think about it, you will kiss it. And you will say, when God gives you cross and tribulation, you will kiss it and say, thou blessed rod. Because you know the Lord is using this to guide you and keep you so that you can safely pass through the valley of the shadow of death into your eternal home.
Is that an image of suffering? Is the staff the rod, which, you know, a real shepherd's going to use to crack the heads of occasional wayward sheep and hook their legs, trip them up if they try to stray away?
No, I wouldn't say of real suffering in the sense. Well, I did it. What do you mean by real suffering?
Well, is it just an image of suffering that we often miss?
It is certainly an image of discipline. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is not averse to using suffering to accomplish his disciplining purposes so that he keeps us in life.
Stanza 5 of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Has he snuck baptism and the Lord's Supper back into yet another stanza here?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. During the break, I mentioned that I can't. This hymn is one of those ones you just don't have to. You don't have to try to memorize. You sing it once or twice, and it's there for the rest of your life. And so as we sing this one, I just love looking around the church as I sing it, and I stare at the altar in awe as I think about this. Thou spreadst a table in my sight. You prepare a table before me. Now the psalm had in the presence of my enemies, and he didn't get that worked in. But that's a beautiful thought too. The table is prepared in the face of our enemies, in the face of sin, in the face of death, in the face of the devil. This table is prepared and set and given to us to banquet us on. Oh, what a joy to think about the very body and blood of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world actually being given to us for our spiritual food. Whoa, that's great.
The unction grace, is that a reference to baptism of this composer?
I believe so. Remember that baptism historically always ran with anointing. They were usually anointing before baptism. You know, we sanitize baptism so much. I mean, we think of it as an event on a Sunday morning. We forget that in early church, you know, it really did usually happen in a separate room, and the people were usually naked, and they were, you know, they were rubbed with oil before they got in. They got in the water, and then they were rubbed down with oil when they got back out. It was a bath, you know? I mean, you clearly didn't miss the bath aspect. This unction of grace, though, what's the oil a sign of? It's a sign of the Holy Spirit. Another name for the Holy Spirit is just grace. You know, origin of the word charis in Greek. It relates to the word chairete, rejoice. And the Spirit is the one who brings to us literally the joy of the Father and the Son into our lives.
You mentioned during the break, speaking of the Greek, the Septuagint, the very ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, predates the New Testament era by a couple centuries, and how it has this particular part of Psalm 23 a little different.
Yeah, we're used to hearing, my cup overflows, but the Septuagint actually has, you know, your cup of inebriation, how pleasant it is. Your cup of inebriation, of drunkenness. I mean, that's the picture of it. There's more joy flowing. Not drunkenness in the sense of, you know, too much wine, but drunkenness in the sense of the Spirit being so richly poured out, given in such an abundance. What did they think on the day of Pentecost? What did they think?
They're filled with new wine.
Well, why did they think that? Because they were so filled with joy. It beamed on their faces, and they could tell. They're like, whoa, what is with these guys, you know? Well, how could they not be filled with joy? Their risen Lord had just dumped down on them the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the promises of God. They knew they had a life that no one was ever going to be able to take from them. They were virtually dancing in the streets there.
This hymn is a picture that should be so familiar to us as Christians of Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, gathered around God's Word and sacraments, isn't it?
It really is, and it should be. And in those places where it's not, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that Christians are not given the experience every week of this rich feast that God would have them share.
The sixth and final stanza of this hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Thank you.
this is the second time, kind of bookending the first stanza with the never-failing goodness of this shepherd. What does it mean that the goodness of this shepherd, Jesus Christ, never fails?
Throughout, from the very first moments of your life with him until those last moments when you're breathing your last, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his love toward you is an unshakable rock. You cannot diminish it. You cannot destroy it. It is the rock of your life. His goodness, his kindness, his will of mercy toward you. And once you've gotten that, and it's hard to get that, it's very hard for us to get that, because we have a very difficult time when we are confronted with our own sin. And, Satan, as I said, is always eager to do that. It's very hard in the face of that to believe, how could you love me? How could you love me? It's very difficult to get your mind around it. And then to realize that it is an overflowing, overwhelming joy. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does this willingly. He does this joyfully, with his eyes fixed on the final end, the being able to bring you into the house of God, where you will get to enjoy the praises of God forever. I love that end. I mean, Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. What were you created for? For this. This is the point of life. This is what you were made. You were created to praise, to stand before the presence of God and enjoy him forever.
We think, Pastor Whedon, that we want to get into heaven. We want to inherit eternal life and the resurrection of all flesh. And I think, as good as that is, as earnest as that ought to be, we tend to underestimate how much more God wants for us.
One of the passages on that idea that has always grabbed me is Psalm 116. It's my mom's favorite Bible passage. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We're always thinking about it from our side. You know, we're so narcissistic that we can't stop for a second and say, no, wait a minute. Can you imagine what it's like for the Heavenly Father to take a child that he has loved from before time began and disclose to them everything that's there? He's like, he's showing them around the kingdom. He says, I made this for you. I gave this for you. So I've been dying to share this with you and let you see it forever. And we always say, oh, so-and-so died. It's like, wait a minute. Look at it the other way around. God the Father took a precious child to himself to show to them the riches of the kingdom that he had in his heart for them from before time began.
So the real earnestness here, the real desire for salvation, belongs all to God.
God's, yeah, yeah. There's a reason he says, seek me, when he says to, you know, his people, seek me that you may live. The Father seeks such to worship him. He wants to give these gifts. There's nothing that, I mean, it's in those, in the parables in Luke that we alluded to earlier from Luke 15, it's the exact same thing. If nothing tickles the heart of God or rings the joy bells of heaven faster than a sinner turning to God, that when they repent, that is God's great joy. And even the repentance itself, the sinner, usually not realized right away, but he comes to realize that was a gift of God too. God even gave me repentance as a gift, salvation as a gift.
Folks, we're going to post a link to the audio and the text of Pastor Whedon's sermon from last Sunday, where they celebrated Jesus, our Good Shepherd, at his congregation, St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, Illinois, at our website, issuesetc.org. We're studying the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts from Pastor Whedon, and we'll hear the entire hymn. I'd like to hear from you as well. 1-877-623-MYIE. On this hymn and the psalm upon which it is based, Psalm 23, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. As I said, we'll play the entire hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, and we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts on the other side of the break. It's Tuesday afternoon, April the 20th. We're coming to you live. 10 more minutes on the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, after this.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, a regular guest. We're studying the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Pastor Whedon and his congregation also are great supporters of Issues Etc., not only by giving us Pastor Whedon's time so often as they do, but the members of St. Paul's have been very generous in supporting Issues Etc. by being part of the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you very much, Pastor Whedon, to your congregation for doing that.
And thank you guys for all you do for getting the Word of God out there. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to do it. Now, many congregations are facing a deadline that is a budget-setting deadline. Their fiscal year begins on July 1st. That means right now, in these weeks and in these months, congregations are setting their budget. And usually, if you have an idea about something you want in the budget, you get close to the summer, it's going to be too late. So now is the time to suggest to your congregation that they join the Issues Etc. 302. A great way to do that, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You will find there on the support page a flyer that you can download and print off that tells your congregation everything they need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. Just go there, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find that flyer. Take it to your congregation, and bearing in mind that possible deadline for the new fiscal year on July the 1st, take it to your congregation quickly and ask them to include Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. The hymn so far, the hymn as we've had it in these six stanzas, is obviously a paraphrase of this great and familiar, perhaps over-familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Why do you think it is that this psalm has kind of risen up out of the whole canon of psalms to be unique in the minds of Christians from almost the very beginning?
From the beginning. In fact, one of the most interesting things to me about the history of that is that in early Christian catechesis, the place occupied, what we think of by the Ten Commandments, was actually occupied by Psalm 23.
You mean when brand new Christians were being instructed in the basics of the Christian faith?
Yeah. The thing, in other words, it was all a riff on the first commandment, which of course all the commandments are. And this is the first commandment. God wants to be your shepherd. God wants to be the one to take care of you and give you a life that never ends. That also accounts for the fact that in the ancient baptistries, you would find this image of Christ the Good Shepherd is by far and away the most common picture on the walls. It's what they understood that baptism put them into Psalm 23. And then when they opened the doors, you know, they never peed in the ancient church. You would never have been to the Eucharist until you were baptized. So after you're baptized, you literally go from the font, newly anointed, and they open the doors and you're going, oh, I'm inside of Psalm 23. Look, there's the table prepared in the presence of my enemies. You know, the cup of inebriation, how pleasant it is.
What does it mean that he is called here in this hymn, the King of Love?
Well, you know, there is no higher revelation of God than when God says in the Apostle John writing in 1 John, he says, God is love. You know, God doesn't have love. He is love. Everything that we think of as love is a pale imitation of the fire of his love affair with the human race, which is just an amazing thing. I mean, and you say, what's the cause of that? And we always want to find a cause in us. There is no cause in us. The cause is inside of him. He's a fountain of love and good gifts that never stops giving.
The entire hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Pastor Whedon, with a little bit more than a minute, your final thoughts on the King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
It's true. And so I don't care what you've done. I don't care how badly you've screwed up. I don't care where you've wandered in the byways of sin and its sorrows. You have a shepherd. And that shepherd's goodness and love for you will never fail. And so you can sing that song as yours, because he is your great good shepherd.
Folks, if you appreciate our hymn studies on issues, etc., please consider making a gift to help support this worldwide outreach. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can make a secure online donation, issuesetc.org. That's our website. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Now, for any size gift during the 40 days of Easter, and there's still plenty of those days left, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons, and thanks for your support. Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming over this afternoon to study this great hymn with us.
This was pure joy for me. I love this hymn.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk to Dr. John Mark Reynolds of Biola University about the new atheists. What does it mean to have a shepherd? We tend to focus so much on what it means to be a sheep, and I don't think that's really the point of all of this in Scripture, that we are sheep. What is there to consider being sheep? Sheep are hardly anything to notice at all. And the images there are of animals that are helpless and apt to stray. And have you ever seen the real life thing? Not much to recommend them. Nothing at all. In fact, if we understand what it means to have a shepherd like ours, who loves the loveless, who seeks the lost, who desires to elevate the least to his own place of honor, and who will spare nothing, not even his own life, to seek and to find and to ransom a flock for himself. We're ultimately talking here about the church. Church, which is a sinner's only club, a flock of terribly hurt and bruised and lost and confused and wandering sheep, all under one shepherd, under one voice. And it is that voice by which he speaks to us these words of mercy and love and forgives our sins and tells us again and again, reminding us as forgetful as we are of the great mercy that he has shown to us when he did lay down his life for us. This is what makes him the good shepherd, different from any human shepherd you can imagine. This shepherd not only is willing to, but actually does lay down his life for the sheep. And in this Easter season, we remember he lays down his life and he has taken it up again in his resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.